In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. But dear ones, I hope you listened. I hope you listened closely to this gospel reading today, because while being quite short, it's incredibly powerful. It's a very, very powerful parable that the Lord gives us. And inside of it, He gives what I think, if we listen closely, is a terrifying statement. Absolutely terrifying statement. Search the Gospels. And from what I found, you will only find one place, today's Gospel, in which the Lord looks at someone and calls them directly, fool. The only thing that comes close is in the Gospel of Matthew, when we talk about the wise versus the foolish virgins. But to be called foolish and to be called a fool are two different things. I knew a very young priest who had lived in Greece for quite a few years, and he had a spiritual father in Thessaloniki who was known for being a very, very good spiritual father, but he was good because he was very tough. He was a tough, very demanding spiritual father, but he did so out of love. And telling myself and a group of fellow priests about what it was like to have him as a spiritual father, he said it was pretty normal in confession for a spiritual father to look over to him and say, "Well, that was stupid, wasn't it? That was pretty stupid." And he'd go, "Yeah, that was pretty stupid." But he said one time, in the middle of his confession, his spiritual father changed it up a little bit, and he shook his head and just said, "Boy, are you stupid." And he put his head back down and went like this, you know, kind of like, "Continue your confession." Didn't say anything else for the rest of the confession, read the prayer of absolution in silence, said nothing. All he was told was, "You're stupid." And as he was about to leave, he said, "Confess next week. Come back and confess next week." He came back and confessed the next week. And after his confession, his spiritual father looked at him and said, "Ah." He goes, "Much better." He goes, "Now you're an unwise person doing stupid things. But I'm no longer going to call you stupid." Because that's the best we can hope for, is to be unwise and do stupid. We're all going to do stupid things. Every sin is to do a stupid thing. And as he was walking away this time, his spiritual father grabbed him by the back of the shirt and pulled him in really close. And he said, "It wasn't very comfortable me calling you stupid in confession, was it?" And he said, "No, it wasn't." And he said, imagine what it's going to be like for those who stand before all of humanity at the last judgment, who Christ looks at and publicly calls fool." He said he walked away very edified from this. He realized that his spiritual father, again, was being tough out of love. And he said what he confessed was indeed, it made him stupid, because what he confessed was that he took the gifts of God and he spurned them. And instead of glorifying God, he focused on the things of this world. And later, when reading this very gospel lesson, he realized this is why his spiritual father called him stupid. He was foolish. He was a fool. He did exactly what this man did. This man, in being given everything from God, because all good that we have comes from God, didn't sit there and glorify God in this, didn't understand that all that he had came from God himself, and didn't distribute what he had in abundance to other people, but rather he became greedy. And the essence of him being a fool was that he took the gifts of God, the temporary gifts of God, and decided to make this his whole entire world. Multiple times he utters what St. John Chrysostom says is the worst swear word that any of us could use. The worst four-letter word that we could use, mine. Mine is the word he utters again and again and again. I will do this, he said. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store up my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That was the first thing that made him a fool. He declared that the things given him by God were actually belonging to him. And in doing so, he forgot the greater gifts of God. He made a further mistake, though. St. Nikolai Velimirovich points out that he says an incredibly stupid, foolish thing when he says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The man mistook what was necessary for the body as what was necessary for the soul. He couldn't distinguish what was good for the soul from what was good for the body, but put them together. This may seem like a minor thing, but I'll tell you, I hear people do this all the time. You hear people say, you know, I just really need a me day. I need a me day. I'm going to go get my nails done, get a massage. I just need a me day. And often they say this silly thing, you know, I need these days of relaxation. It's really good for the soul. It's really good for the soul. Foolishness. Utter foolishness. We commemorate saint after saint after saint after saint who lived a life that disregarded the comfort of the body, but in that way, they constantly nourished the soul. What we offer to Christ when we die is the state of our soul. What state? This gift of God, this great gift that God has given us, this living soul that seeks union with God, what state are we going to die leaving this soul to God? The goods of the soul are far more significant and more important than the goods of the body. But this man is labeled a fool by God himself because taking this gift of body and soul, he decided to act as if these were his own possessions and then deny the actual good of the soul and focus instead on the abundance of the body. This is the essence of being a fool. St. Nikolai has another really great illustration for this. He said, this is analogous to us doing this. Let's say you have a friend. You have a friend who you know is about to bring you the most beautiful, comfortable fabrics, beautiful silks and different fabrics for clothing that kings of history would have killed for. He's about to give you these things for free. But the night before he comes to give them to you, you sneak into his house, break in, and find ratty old rags and cotton, torn up shirts and clothes, and you steal those for yourself. And you rejoice in what you've taken. God blesses us in abundance with many things. You've heard Father Justin and myself mention many times. I mean, any other time in history, modern day Americans, even those living in poverty, would have been seen to live in the greatest wealth, in the greatest abundance that mankind has ever seen. If we want water, we turn a faucet on, there's water. Whatever fruit you want, you don't have to wait weeks or months after planting it, wait for the right time of year, try to grow it yourself, make sure the soil is good. You go to the store a mile away, and there it is. We have literally phones in which we can contact any person in the entire world right in our pockets. And on these phones, we also have access to more knowledge than any man could ever amass in his entire lifetime or even in 10 lifetimes. We have vehicles in which all you do is put a liquid in it and then push down a pedal and it takes you wherever you want to go. You can travel in one day what it would take weeks to travel, months in some cases in the ancient world. And if that's not good enough, you can get in this big metal box and literally fly to anywhere in the world in a day's time. We live in incredible abundance. But we make this foolish mistake as well in taking this abundance and reveling in it, reveling in our comfort, and using that to love the things of this world and to forget that these are all gifts of God. And in doing so, we ignore the soul. The Orthodox Christian focuses every single day on the health of his soul. That's a key to being an Orthodox Christian. We wake up, we immediately do the sign of the cross. But this is, by the way, this is the first thing we should do when we wake up in the morning. Before anything else, do the sign of the cross. Glory to thee, O Lord. Thou hast given me yet one more day for repentance. That should be the first thought we have before doing anything else. You open your eyes, glory to God for all things. You offer that day to Christ and you look at the day and say, how can I serve the Lord better this day? And at the end of every night, as you say your evening prayers, we give an account of our day. We ask Christ for forgiveness for how we failed him this day, how we fell short of his glory, how we failed to please him. We beg him for the strength to do better the next day, and we make a plan. Where did I fail? Well, I got really angry on there. I had a little bit of road rage. Somebody cut me off. I threw a fit. What can I do better tomorrow? What do the fathers say? Well, they say, you know, make excuses for other people. Maybe the person who had an emergency. Maybe they just weren't paying attention, which I've done before in the car. You know what? Tomorrow, God willing, someone will cut me off tomorrow so I can try to do a little bit better. Now, today I got a little bit impatient. Today I got angry at somebody. Today I just didn't think of God very much. What practically am I going to do differently so that I think of God and have him more in mind throughout the day? We make plans and we take these things to our spiritual fathers and say, these are the things I'm struggling with. These are the plans that I've come up with. What do you think? That's a normal thing for an Orthodox Christian to do, to be constantly focused on the state of his soul. But unfortunately, so many of us, we begin to live the spiritual life almost by rote. It's by habit. We think we're doing well because we're checking off the boxes. I said my prayers a couple times. I fasted a little bit. I came to church. But we forget the purpose of everything we're doing. The acquisition of grace so that we can be transfigured. This is really the goal. For all the abundance we have, every great thing that we gain should multiply our glorifying of God. It should multiply our thanksgiving and our gratitude towards Him. And that gratitude towards Him should transform our minds so that we're more and more focused upon Him every single day. This is the goal of everything. To have our hearts so aligned with holiness, so seeking the health of our soul, so seeking after virtue. We're so occupied with that, there's no room for sin to get in the first place. This is St. Porphyrios' way. And St. Porphyrios is like the greatest saint in hundreds of years. A great recent saint of the church. He reposed in 1991. Worked countless miracles. He could look at somebody and tell them exactly what their history was, what their health was, if they had any illnesses. If they had the illness, he would tell them what they needed to do. To some people, he would say, go and have surgery, you'll be healed. Other people would say, go and pray. Go to this icon, do this acathist, do whatever, and so-and-so will heal you. Christ will heal you through this saint. And he proved himself right again and again and again. He said the key to the spiritual life is to stop trying to fight against the things that keep you down, that weigh you down, all the darkness in your soul. You're never going to, you can't run into a room and scream away the darkness. He said, all you can do is switch on the light. He said, if you want to be a saint, being a saint is easy. Just have Christ in your mind at all times. Constantly be thinking upon Christ and constantly seek the health of your own soul. Water the virtues, is what he said. He gave this beautiful image that your life is like, your soul is like a garden. He said you have beautiful flowers, but you also have weeds. He said don't focus on the weeds. Leave the weeds be. Focus on the flowers. Water them, and eventually the weeds will wither and die on their own. This is the key. Find the virtues that are pleasing to Christ. Find the good things he has given you. Constantly glorify him in them, and constantly seek to perfect yourself as a living offering back to him. He's given you everything, so offer yourself back to Him because He gave us Himself. And if this is your constant goal, if the health of your soul is your constant thought, if that's your constant purpose in life, to create a healthy soul for yourself, the passions will wither on your own and you'll find yourself at peace and with constant joy in Christ no matter what comes your way. How many saints of the church do we have who lived imprisoned, who were beaten, who were martyred, and yet did all with peace and joy at the forefront? Why? Because their souls were ready. Their souls were ready. If nothing else, dear ones, we have to avoid, remind yourself to avoid this fearful prospect that Christ will look at us at the judgment and before all other people will say to us, "You fool. Today, your soul is required of you." Every single day is an opportunity for salvation, and every day we may be accounted, we may be called to account before Christ. So every day, make the health of your soul goal number one. Goal number one. Is the Orthodox life tough? Of course it's tough. There's a lot of asceticism. But as that story from St. Nikolai illustrates, what God wants to give us in return for the small sacrifice that we offer Him is so much greater and so much more beautiful and so much more glorious. You cannot find a single saint of the church who decided to give up everything materially, who gave up every worldly comfort and decided instead to adorn their souls, who then looked back and said, "This wasn't worth it." Not a single one ever says that. Rather, they beckon each one of us to follow in their path. They say, "You have no idea how worth it this actually is." So I want to end with this one instruction for you. If you have not yet taken up the task of making sure that you are always reading the lives of the saints, begin this week. If you want to find out how worthwhile this actually is, read the lives of those who lived it. There are innumerable books of modern Orthodox saints that will absolutely transform your lives. If you don't know which one to start with, come ask Father Justin. Come ask myself. Downstairs in the bookstore, we are covered with these lives of the saints. Begin reading them. Begin familiarizing yourself with them. Spend time with these saints who in our own times, we're able to give up all of these things and seek after God and see what happened to them. You will be inspired to do the same thing. This is the key. I will tell you, this is my own weakness comes out when I don't read the lives of the saints. When I'm not reading their lives, prayer falls off easily. Fasting doesn't seem as important. I pay less attention in church. I begin to fall back into old habits. I have to be reading the lives of the saints. But when I read those lives of the saints, I become so inspired that what was once a difficult ascetic endeavor for me that seems so difficult and impossible becomes completely easy. The spiritual life has so much joy. There's so much pleasure. There's so much peace within it. And seeking after the good things of the soul becomes normal. It becomes the normal way of living. When the health of the soul becomes the normal way of living, suddenly those other sins that were once normal become abnormal. They fall off the radar. You don't even think about them anymore. And you can't even believe that you ever lived that way and could ever be content with that type of life. Please, dear ones, read the lives of the saints. If you don't have any that you're reading now, if you don't have any at home to read, go in our bookstore today and get at least one of them and begin that project. I gave somebody recently the obedience, and I've been doing this more and more, of telling people one a month. Just one life of a modern saint a month. By next year, you will have read and gotten to know 12 different saints. And if you've done what we should do, take notes on these things, take the passages that really inspire you and jot them down in a journal, you will have so much fuel for the spiritual life so that when you begin to feel yourself slacking, when you notice yourself faltering off of that focus upon the health of the soul, you can go back and read those things, re-inspire yourself, and get back on track much, much more easily than you ever have before. Read the lives of the saints. Seek after these figures who have made the health of their soul everything to their lives. See how worth it is and follow in their footsteps. May the Lord guide us and strengthen us in this endeavor. Amen.